Good morning, church.
Good morning.
The song I'm going to sing is In This Time. In his time, in his time, he makes something beautiful. In his time, show me every day that you teaches me your way, that you do just what you say in your time. In your time. In your time, he'll make all things beautiful. In your time, I pray, may he strong now. To say be to you within in your time. In his time, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time, Lord, be show me every day that you kiss me your way, that you do just what say in your time. In your time. Time. Say
God is good. The Lord is good. It's not about us, it's giving God the glory and the praise. One of the things that we have learned, the Bible teaches that the little children shall lead them. And if a three-year-old can glorify God, then all of us must find it in ourselves to do something to glorify God. Especially when we come together to worship. You know, I was looking at the congregation while we were singing, and I realized that not everybody is united in worship. And, you know, the scripture said that we should be united in mind. And when we come together in the presence of God, we should be collectively here to worship God. And I don't know why we are so intimidated when we are on the winning team. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. A few years ago, there was some disagreement over the treatment of a young man, and he was killed. And some of the sports celebrities that play sports, they decided that they would not give allegiance to the flags of the United States, but rather they will bow their knees. And many of them were suspended, many of them were treated unkindly because they believed that there was an issue that needed to be dealt with. And so they decided that they would not give allegiance to the flag of the United States while there was suffering going on. Three young men was in a country against their will, and the king demands worship. And he said, when you hear the music playing and all the flutes and the harps and everything, I'm giving you a command that every knee must bow. Take notice that three young men did not bow their knees to the king because they realized that there was a greater king who alone deserved worship. Alone who is kings of kings and lord of lords. Unfortunately, they were arrested. And while they were arrested, they were given a chance to change their mind. But they decided that they would rather die than break their allegiance to the Almighty God. And so they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Many of us know the story that they were not only thrown in, but they were bound hand and feet. While they were thrown in, and the king believed that he had gotten rid of some rebels, said that when he looked in the furnace, he saw four men. And he said the other one that he didn't know, that have a form, he said he looked like the Son of Man. Today I want to declare to you that Son of Man is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is still standing right now on our behalf, interceding. And so when we come together to worship, we are not here to worship a God. We are here to worship the Almighty God. And he had given us that privilege through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty Father, our God, as we stand and sit in your presence this morning, we are reminded that you are God and God alone, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray today that when we bow, we may recognize that you are God and that you're worthy. And when we stand, O Lord, giving allegiance, we may be united in our stand, knowing that at every knee shall bow, and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. O Father, I'm asking you, Lord, that you may take control of my mind even now. Let the mind of Christ be in me. And Father, your word, as your word go forth, Lord, I pray that it may bring light to someone and liberty. We beg and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My sermon today will be taken from Philippians chapter 2. That's where I'll be preaching from this morning. And if you don't mind, I'll read a passage of scripture from Ephesians chapter 2, starting from verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill he my joy, that he may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Look not every man and his own things, but every man also and the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and of things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as he have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God's wish. God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. May the Lord add a reason to the hearing of his word. Today, when we look at our world, we see confusion. And when we come to the place where we should be more conscious, the place where we should more be together, we see confusion also. When we look at our church today, to where the church have first started, we see that we are not growing, but we are getting worse. But God said that he's coming for a perfect church, a church that built upon his love, a church that is being a light to the world. But yet still, we find ourselves struggling to stay connected. Every man is trying to be Lord over someone or something. But today I want to declare to you that there is only one Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And so, what is the church mission? What are we here for? Are we here to appease ourselves, or are we here to give glory to the one who is above all? We have a world that is dying. The world is in a state where only God can help us. So many minds is confused. So many minds are troubled. You know, I hear they said that the drugs overdose that is happening today have never been like this before. So many mind is messed up. Mental illness is like the peak of the day. Depression, anxiety. People who never suffer from anxiety are going through that disease and illness right now. What is causing this? Because there is no surety about what next will happen. I want to tell you that something good is coming. And if we would only but hold fast, we would have seen the glory of God that will be manifested in his Son, Jesus Christ, on that day. While we are here, my brothers and sisters, our duty is to declare that Jesus Christ is worthy to be praised. So many people are asking questions, what next? Where do we go from here? But unfortunately, we are turning to the wrong source to give us the information about the future. When we look at the television station, and we have to admit that what we are seeing is disturbing. I mentioned the other day that a little girl went to school that was only 8 years old, and she never make it back home. Somebody kidnapped that little girl and slit her throat. Look at our world. And yet still, we have good news to share. But yet still, we are intimidated to share the good news that there is power and there is victory in Jesus Christ. No other force is able to deliver you and to set you free than the blood of Jesus Christ. Although it seems like the church is not moving, I want to tell you today that God is still trusting us to bring that good news to the world. A few weeks from now, we'll be going to Seaside Park. And I hope that we all may be anxious to be there. We are getting an opportunity and a chance to share the love of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we may have one accord, that we may have one desire and one aim, which is to establish the gospel that brings salvation through Jesus Christ. I realize how divided we are as a people, or maybe lack of interest. Whenever the church called to do something, there's only some people show up. Why? Why are we so divided? Why can't we work together? Why can't we function as a unit? Whatever the church called for, you can count the few people that will be there. A few weeks ago, we had a good time. We have established a fun day for the church, but brothers and sisters, there was just a few people show up. Oh, how much better it would be if we had more people there. Why? Why is the church not being united? When we look at our world and see how divided the world is, and when we should be finding a solace place in the church, we come and the church is still like the world. Where is the light of Jesus Christ? Where is his mind? Are we praying that the mind of Christ may be in us as a people? The signs of the time is declaring that Jesus Christ will come. And we will bow one way or another. We will either bow as him be our king, or we will bow as being an impostor. The coming of the Lord draw it near. And God have a work for us as a church to do. Paul reminds the brethren that the work cannot be completed in confusion. The work must be completed with a unified mind and a heart. When we think about the Tower of Babel, we see that the people had one mind, one aim, one destiny. They want to build their way out of here. And they were doing a good job until God stopped them. Brothers and sisters, this church is founded upon the principles and precepts of God's word. And God expects us to be not ashamed of the gospel. He expects us to go out of this building and tell somebody that Jesus Christ is coming soon. When we are at our workplace, we should be talking about Jesus. Wherever we are, we should be talking about Jesus until somebody get it that there is someone greater than we are. Unfortunately, some of us don't even show our light. As a matter of fact, some of us, we don't even want people to know that we are Christian because we don't live as Christians. Do you know that when you're a Christian, when God's love is in you, you don't have to tell anybody that you're a Christian? They will know that the mind of Christ is in you because of the way you act. Oh, what a church it will be if by God's grace we would allow Jesus Christ to manifest his power to us through the power and influence of his Holy Spirit. We can quote the scriptures, but it's another thing to live the scriptures. And Paul said that the things I know that I should do, I find it hard to do. We all struggle. But what do we do with the struggles that we go through? Do we continue to struggle or do we lay them at the altar and say, Jesus, you have the power to transform my life. You have the power to make me a new creation. I'm giving you myself, Lord. Manifest yourself in me. The kingdom of God is at hand. And how are we and will stand? How will we stand on that day? Will we stand before him wanted? Or will our sins all washed away? The church must come to the place where we surrender all to Jesus. All to Jesus, we must surrender all. And when we surrender all to Jesus, as we learn in the Sabbath school lesson this morning, that oneness, that togetherness, that glory that will bring praise to God will be manifested. Self must be crucified. Self must be denied if we want to glorify God in our work. And when we work, we don't work to say that I am good, but we work to show that God is good and is worthy to be praised. The mission of the church is still alive. The problem is, do we want to be of this great mission? Do we want to be a part of this great mission that we must go out and evangelize, tell somebody that Jesus loved them? God's kingdom is at hand. Brothers and sisters, the only thing that is perfect is the word of God. We have it, we must share it. To whom much is given, much is required. And God is going to say, what have you done? All that knowledge that you have, what have you done with it? Did you use it to glorify me? I was your shame of me. It said that those who confess, Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I will also confess you before my Father. But I want you to remember, my brothers and sisters, that the scripture said, the day is coming when every knee shall bow. Those that are in heaven will bow. Those who are on earth will bow, and those who are under the earth will bow, because Jesus Christ is worthy of worship. If you're ashamed now, you will be ashamed later also. If you are thankful now, you will be rewarded later. But whatever we do, either way, there comes a time of reward. And I pray to God today that as we hear him speaking to us, we may say, Lord, I want to surrender all my will to you. I want to give my mind to you, God, so that you can transform it into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. When we look at the cross, we see grace and mercy. When we look at the cross, we see suffering, but we also see liberation. When we look at the cross, we see shame, but we also see glory. He took our place so that we could have a place in his eternal kingdom. And while we are joyful that by his grace we'll make it, there are souls that are perishing every day. And some don't even know what they believe in. Even within the church today, some of our young people don't even believe in Jesus Christ anymore. If they were, they would be here. And not only, I'm not here to beat up on the young people, but some of the adults don't even believe in Jesus Christ anymore. The allegiance, the glory that should shine from his presence into our hearts is not there. Our mind is clouded with things that are trying to allure us into deception. We must come back to the cross, where the light of Christ will bring liberty and freedom to all. We can never be united until we surrender our will to his will. There will always be confusion if Christ is not being manifested in our hearts. And Paul said that this surrender is a daily surrender. I died today so that Christ can be manifested and live in my heart. And tomorrow, when the trials come tomorrow, by his grace, I will die tomorrow to glorify him. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is at hand. We see the signs of the time. We hear of it, right? We are seeing and hearing things that we never knew that would happen in our time. How many of you saw the red sun just a few weeks ago? Did you see the red sun? We think we are far away, right? You think you are far away from others, but we are closer than we think. And even the time is pointing, all these things are helping to tell us that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not just the smoke. There's a sign in the smoke. And if you were looking up, you would have seen that red sun. Brothers and sisters, I'm not here to scare you. What I'm here to say is that we need to find back a solemn place near to the heart of Christ. We need that oneness. We need his mind to transform us. We need his mind to renew our effort so that when we share the gospel, we share it because we love someone. And we're not sharing it because we have a head knowledge. The kingdom of God is upon us. And God is coming for a people who said, Lord, I'm taking a stand for you because you are worthy to be praised. There might be some of us here today who have been coming to church week after week, but we never see Christ as our King of Kings. We come here because we believe it's the right place to be. But there is no connection. There is no joy in our coming. And even when we worship, there is no thankfulness in our worship. The Bible said, oh, if men would praise God for his goodness, for the wonderful works that he have done unto the children of man. We don't even understand what it means to be liberated from debt. But the Sabbath school lesson this morning reminds us that Jesus Christ was willing to die, even if it was one. That's how much he loves us and cares for us. One of my brother brought out that God respect and value our life as he value his. How do you see your neighbor? How do we see our neighbor? Many of us don't even know who our neighbors are because that's how the world is today. But we have to make an effort to meet them. We have to make an effort to connect with them, to let them know that we are different from the world. They don't have to close their doors to us because we bring light to them. I don't think you get what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have the antidote for the crisis that is going on. We have what will bring freedom to the mind that is incarceration by anxiety, by fear, by depression, by uncertainty. We have the antidote, and the antidote is in Christ Jesus. He came so that he may set the captive free. He came that he may heal the brokenhearted. He came that he may bring liberty and sight to the blind. That's who I'm talking about, Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. In him, there is fullness of joy. In him, there is peace evermore. Jesus Christ is the source of all life. Today, I talk about him because I know what he has done for me. And you may not have the passion that I have for Christ, but you know, you remember that movie they call The Passion of the Christ? When we are passionate enough to understand where we were and what he has done for us, then we can do nothing but praise him. When we understand that we were destined for death and destruction, everlasting debt, and Christ, through his infinite love, had come to us and give us this hope this morning, we can do nothing but said, to God be the glory for the great and marvelous thing that he has done through his son, Jesus Christ. And I wish the church would say amen. You know, brothers and sisters, Jesus said that if we refuse to praise him, the stone will cry out. I don't want to beg you to praise God. I want you to understand what God is doing for your life and what he has done for your life so that you may say, I praise God. I'm not ashamed to say hallelujah, praise God in church. You know that, right? And if you don't like it, it's okay. But when the Spirit move upon me to say, praise the Lord, I say, praise the Lord. And I don't try to disturb the church, but every now and again, I will say a strong praise God for his good. Yes. Brothers and sisters, we need to give our mind to Christ. And when our mind is given to Christ, it will be renewed and be empowered for his glory. Today, the world is dying. And man does not have the answer to what is happening out there. But in Christ Jesus, we are sure today that if we would trust him, if we would give ourselves to him, something good is given back to us. And that is life evermore. No more suffering, no more pain, no more death in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, do you believe this? Do you believe this, that in Christ Jesus there is freedom? Freedom from the condemnation that is coming upon the world. And while I say freedom, brothers and sisters, it does mean that physically you will not suffer, but I'm saying that we are guaranteed a life forevermore. Earthly suffering will come, but spiritual deliverance also will come in Christ Jesus. And that's my hope, and I pray that that may be your hope also. One of these days, we will hear a voice say, come. And the question is, who are you going to run to? In Revelation, it said that many will run to the rock saying, hide me from his presence. I pray that by God's grace and mercy, we will be running to him saying, Lord, we have waited so long. The day of his refreshing is upon us. Today, there might be someone here today. I don't believe that we should talk too long, but there might be someone here today who have never said to Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, so that when you come, I may have the privilege to spend eternity with you. If there's someone here today that the Spirit is talking to, I would like to pray for you. Because you see, when everything is said and done, we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Is there such a one here today? You have never said to Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to be Lord of my life. If there's someone here today, I see you, Anthony. You can come up, right, son? You see, the children are going to be the leader. And when they lead, we better follow. Because guess what? Their mind is purer than our mind. And so when the Spirit is talking to them, they are listening. The problem is that our mind is clouded with all manner of evil. So unless we become like little children, the Bible said that there is no place in the kingdom for us. I want to talk to someone who is an adult also today. You have never, come up, Anthony. You have never said to Jesus, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. Today is the day of salvation. With everything that is happening, we don't know what's going to happen between now and tomorrow. So if you are here, don't leave without inviting Jesus Christ to be a part of your life. He is your way out of this sin-corrupt world. He is your way to the kingdom. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ said, every knee shall bow at some point. Every tongue must confess that he is Lord. Is he your Lord today? If Jesus Christ is not your Lord today, don't leave this place, because there is no other way that you can get into the kingdom but by him. If you hear Jesus talking to you today, please take a stand for him. Please take a stand, because he already take a stand for you. Is there such a one who would like to stand and said, Lord, come into my heart? If there's such a one, please stand. Because Jesus Christ is saying, I want you to come home. But he's waiting. It's not because Jesus is not good. It's because he's waiting for us to say, I surrender all. I surrender all. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are waiting, O Lord, for your Spirit to move upon our hearts. We know, though, that our mind must be renewed. We cannot enter into your rest with a divided heart. Today, God, you have spoken. You have reminded us that every knee shall bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to your glory. I'm asking you, Lord, even now, to speak, Lord, to speak from your still small voice and touch someone's heart, that they may give of themselves to you, and they may not leave this place, oh God, with the unsurety that tomorrow is not promised. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, to let your word not return void, but Lord, even little Woodhouse that have raised his hands, and we have seen him raise his hands over and over. He's saying, Lord, I want you to be king of my life. I pray that you may bless his little life, oh God. Lord, bless my granddaughter also. These are the future. I'm asking you, Father God, to surround them and all the little children that are here. Surround them, oh God, and keep their mind pure. Keep their mind steadfast upon you, Father. For we sense, Lord, that the enemy is trying to allure even their little mind. We see, God, in the school, what they are giving them to be educated, that it have been polluted, oh God. I'm asking you, Father, that your word may find lodgment into their hearts from our early age, even as little Samuel. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, that you may keep them from falling. Bless each home that is represented. God, we are praying for unity within the homes. We are asking you, God, to bless the husband and the wives so that their mind may be united in your effort to glorify you. Bless the children, God, the children that are here and that are not here. Bless them. Bring them back, oh Father, because we sense from the signs of the time that you're coming is even imminent. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, I pray that today someone may say, Lord, I surrender all. Please hear from heaven now and forgive us of our sins, we beg. In Jesus' name, amen.